Take your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I've been trying to define the word gospel, and I told you I think there's 15 statements or points that I want to make about what is the gospel. And so we're going to look at those throughout the month of December. But here in Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 13, reads like this: "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross and put the hostility to death by it. When the Messiah came, he proclaimed the good news." That's the word gospel. "He proclaimed the gospel of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building, being put together by him, grows into holy sanctuary in the Lord. You also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit." And so there we find a proclamation. When the Messiah came, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you, the gospel. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we want to thank you for your holy word. And Father, as we look at the good news that you came proclaiming, I pray that we might have an understanding of it. Lord, that it might excite us and motivate us, that we too will proclaim the good news to everyone we meet. Bless us now. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen. Sometimes defining words can be a little bit difficult. A little incident this week, and someone said, "Well, you have accused me of something," and they rebutted back, "Well, I didn't accuse you of anything." And so the first thing I did was go over to my bookshelf, and I get the dictionary out so this person can know what the word accuse means. And I was satisfied that it was used in the proper context, and the person who received it was incorrect. Of course, we all feel better when we're right, don't we? And so it's just kind of a natural thing. Well, defining words can be difficult. And so we're trying to get our solar panels fixed. In fact, we're going to have a business meeting right after church, and I'm going to tell you that they're coming down tomorrow to fix the solar panels. And so Tuesday, we're praying for bright sunshine, and we're going to see how good these things work. Well, in order to get them fixed, it's going to cost us a little money, and I'll tell you that in the business meeting. But they required a down payment, and so I had the secretary write out the check for the down payment. And then she brought the bill in to show me, and it says that the terms of this agreement are cash. Wow. And so I don't know what the word cash means. It's a little bit difficult for me. But initially, I'm a little bit offended that they want cash only. That kind of bothers me. And then I get a little bit worried. Wait a minute, cash, there's no accountability. There's nothing. What do we do? That's just not good, you know, for some guy to come up and I hand him a a bunch of cash. And so I had to email the company and ask them, would you define the word cash? Cash to me is a $20 bill or whatever we carry, usually ones, and that's cash. So what does it mean, cash? Define it. And so they wrote back and they said, it means that we will take cash, certified checks, money orders, or bank transfers. Cash. Wow. Why didn't they say that? You know, that's not how I define cash. Well, sometimes I push it a little bit further, and so I wrote them a real nice letter and said, does this mean that you will not take my church's personalized check? Because that's not in their definition of cash. And they wrote back and said, we'll be glad to take your check. And so it all ended extremely well, but in my mind, I'm still confused. Terms of this agreement are cash only. You see, sometimes defining words can be difficult because to you it may mean one thing, to me it may mean something else, and I can use that word and wind up offending you when really I was paying you a compliment. And so when we define words, we have to be careful. And so when we define the word gospel, often we have to make a distinction between what happens when we accept the gospel and the meaning of the word gospel. There is a difference between what happens. I am born again, so the word gospel means born again. No, it doesn't. That's what happens when I accept the gospel. What does the word mean? And so It's good to know what it means. Now, we define it as good news. The gospel means good news. Some guy called me the other day, and I mentioned this last week, and he called me twice this week, and I have good news for you. I own a condo in Phoenix. Yeah, I have good news for you. I want to buy your condo. And I thought to myself, well, I am cash strapped. You know what that means? It means your kids need some money. Okay? Defining cash strapped means your son calls you up and says, Dad, I have an issue. I need some money. So selling my condo would be good news for me because I could get the cash to do something. But then what about the person who I have to evict on Christmas Day when I sell the condo? And so good news for me is one thing. Good news for my son who lives in the condo that I would have to evict would be bad news for him. And I'm just kind of, wow, what does good news mean to us? And so I want to say, the word gospel means good news, and this good news is good news for everyone. Now, it's not good news just for one group of people, let's say the Jewish people, who Jesus was a Jew and he came to the Jews, but now he's for all of us. It's not good news just for the United States of America, who has in the past claimed to be a Christian country. It's not good news just for the Chinese people who are experiencing a revival as millions of them are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But the good news, if it's really good news, is good news for everybody. So far, I have tried to define the good news in about nine different ways. So far, I think I said to you that the good news is knowing God's name so we can call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The good news is we know the name of the Lord. We can call upon Him. The good news is, the second thing I told you was that the good news is that He is present. He's here right now. Now, some of us are reading through the Bible. And so this last week we read from the book of Amos. Let's turn to Amos for just a moment. This would be a good time for the Awana teachers to have a little Bible drill. Amos chapter 4, verse 13. It's going to be on page 400 or 845 in the Pew Bible. Amos chapter 4, verse 13. So I'm reading through the Bible, and I came across this verse, and I just kind of got excited. Verse 13, first three words, He is here. And so we're not trying to get away from this morning. If you get up early enough to read the Bible instead of reading it at nighttime, if you read this morning, we're in the book of Jonah. And I highlighted chapter 1 where it says, God came to Jonah and gave him a message, says, go to the city of Nineveh and preach to him. And so Jonah tried to get away from the presence of God. And I highlighted that, to leave the presence of God. So he went on a ship. If you know the story of Jonah, when he was down in the bottom of the ship taking a nap, was he away from the presence of God? No, God was in the bottom of the ship. As the sailors realized that Jonah was the problem, and they threw him overboard, and God said, or the Bible says, God created a big fish that came along and swallowed him, and he stayed in the belly of a big fish for 3 days. Do you think he got away from God in the belly of we call it the belly of the whale? No, God was right there. It took 3 days for him finally to realize, maybe I better acknowledge that I cannot get away from the presence of God. And the rest of the story. Anyway, verse 13, He is here. The one who forms the mountains, who created the winds and reveals his thoughts to man. The one who makes the dawn out of darkness and strides on the heights of the earth. Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, is his name. He is here. And so I define the gospel as God is here. He is present. And so that would be the second definition I gave you. I also said that the gospel means knowing that God reigns. He's in control. He is the ruler of the universes. Also, we could say that the gospel is knowing that He's alive and that He created everything. The book of Amos said that. Genesis says that. All the Bibles, all the books go together, especially Colossians, where He created everything. The good news is, the gospel is, that Jesus died for our sins. Not only did He die for our sins, but we also know that the Holy Spirit lives within us. He's here to guide us and to instruct us and to convict us. The Holy Spirit lives within me. The Bible says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is here with me right now. And then last week I ended off by saying, and the gospel is the gospel for all nations, as I've mentioned earlier. Good news for me is good news for everybody about the gospel. But I want to take a little further look at it and want to share with you three things this morning. If you have your bulletin, you flip it over, try to write on this if you want. But first of all, I want to say the good news is the Messiah has come to be our Savior. The Messiah has come to be our Savior, and we need a Savior because we can't save ourselves. We can't be perfect because all of us are sinners. We can't buy our way. We need someone who's going to be a Savior. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Now, if you're using the Pew Bible and you have a little trouble there, it's on page 942. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel said, the shepherds were out there watching their flocks at nighttime. The angel came to them. The shepherds got scared when they saw this. And in verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I proclaim to you the good news. The gospel is the word there. Don't be afraid. I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. There it is. Today, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. And so we find the word gospel there, which is great. It's a great news. It brings great joy. And it's for all people. A Savior has been born. And so the good news is the Messiah has come, and He wants to be our Savior. He wants to save us. And you've heard me say many times three things. One, He saves us from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Not only does He save us from the penalty of sin, He saves us from the power of sin. Sin gets a grip on. When we start sinning, we get addicted to it. We have a ministry here on Sunday night. We call it Set Free, because God has set us free from the power of sin. All these addictions that we have, God wants to release us. And so we're set free. And so we're free from the power of sin. But there's a third thing, and it hasn't taken place yet, but going to, and that is that we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. The presence of sin. Taylor and I had discussion last night as we're driving down the road, or I was driving, she was riding, and so we're having a discussion about what's heaven like. Is there any sin in heaven? And I said, no, there is no sin in heaven, because God is going to save us from the presence of sin. And so the Savior has come, and He has set us free from the power of sin. He's come to save us from the penalty of sin, and He's going to save us from the presence of sin when we achieve that final resting place in heaven. The kingdom of God and the coming of the Messiah are the same thing. Jesus came to proclaim good news about the Messiah, about the coming of the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God, when it comes, the Messiah has come. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 12. Acts, chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news, there it is, the word gospel. He preached the gospel about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. And so Philip came. He was a deacon within the church, and he was preaching the good news. That's the job of every believer, to share the good news. And it's a good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so the good news is that the Messiah has come. Jesus is the Messiah. He is our Savior. I want to share three more verses with you real quickly. If we turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, if you're using the Pew Bible, you want to follow along, and you can't find the book of Isaiah, we're going to be on page 629. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. All those names fit him so well. The dominion of his will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And so the Messiah has come. And then who is the Messiah? Well, he is the son that was given to us. We celebrate as we see the manger over here, the coming of the Messiah. And then skip over to Isaiah 53. Looking for the gospel. And the gospel is that the Messiah has come to be our Savior. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, our sins. He was crushed because of our iniquities, which is sin. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and we are healed by his wounds. He is the Messiah. He came, he gave his life that we might have life, and that is good news for us. And then we know the story in Matthew, as the angel came to Joseph and tells him that you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so the good news is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he has come to be our Savior. The second thing I want to share with you about the good news, again, if you keep track of all of them, there should be about 15 when I get all done. But the second thing is, the good news is that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, if you will. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. It says, now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel. There's the word gospel, the good news. I proclaim to you, and you received it, and you've taken a stand for it. You are also saved by this gospel when we accept it, if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe for no purpose. For I pass on to you as most important what I also received. And what's the most important thing? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And so the good news is that Christ died for our sins. Last week, I told you that And I told you earlier that Christ died for our sins. The other half of the good news, though, is that he rose from the dead. He didn't stay dead. Death could not keep him. The grave could not conceal him. He's alive. I like Easter time or resurrection time as we sing songs like, he's alive, he's alive, praise God, he's alive. You know, just stating the fact, he's alive. And that's part of the good news. He is alive, and he's here with us. Jesus said he would rise from the dead, and he kept his word according to the scripture. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. Now, if you're trying to keep up with all this, you get a lot of biblical exercise today, because the word gospel is mentioned 154 times in the Bible. Now, we're not going to look them all up, but you've noticed we've used several in the last couple weeks and more today. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. For as Jonah, if you read through the Bible this morning with us, for as Jonah was in the belly of a huge fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And then the men of Nineveh, things happen. But he's telling us here that after 3 days, he's going to rise from the dead. And the disciples heard this. They didn't accept it. They didn't believe it. But it came out to be true. Jesus kept his word. Two more scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, page 1095. It says, keep your attention on Jesus as risen from the dead and descended from David. This is according to my gospel, the good news. He's a descendant of David. And so we find in Matthew and we find in Luke the genealogy of Jesus. We find it tracing all the way back to David. But the attention is on Jesus as he has risen from the dead. And so the good news last week was that he died for our sins. The good news this week is defined as he rose from the dead and he lives today. One more scripture, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verses 32 and 33. And we ourselves proclaim to you the good news of the promise, there it is, according to the scripture, that was made to our ancestors. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm. You are my beloved Son. Today I have become your Father. And so we find the good news. The good news is that Christ died for us and that he rose from the dead. And then the third thing about good news is that the good news is the cross made it all possible. The cross has made it all possible. We are proud of the cross. Some people wear a cross around their neck. Sometimes the churches have crosses in their sanctuary. Sometimes churches have crosses on top of a steeple. And some, if they have a steeple. That's a little touchy thing. We'll talk about that in business meeting. Anyway, and so the good news is the cross has made it all possible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and then healing every disease and sickness among the people. And so Jesus was going around preaching the good news. And he's getting to the point that he's going to be telling them about the cross. Now, maybe not right here in Matthew chapter 4. But the good news is that he's preaching the good news. And the cross makes it all possible. The avenue to forgiveness is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And so the shedding of his blood took place on the cross. And so the good news is that the cross makes it all possible because that cross is where Jesus shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of our sin. The gateway to salvation is the cross because that's where Jesus died and gave his life for us. Let's go backwards to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter 3:18, it's going to be on page 1115. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all. That suffering was on the cross. the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? That he might bring you to God after being put to death, that's the cross, in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm. He gave his life for you. And so the cross is what makes it all possible. One more scripture along that line, Luke chapter 4, verse 8, chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4, 18. It says, "But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He anointed me to preach the good news. And the good news is that he's going to give his life for you and I. When I think about Jesus announcing the kingdom of God and that he is reigning today, before he can reign and bring salvation to you and I, he had to die on the cross and shed his blood and then to rise from the dead. One more scripture, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. It says, "He was delivered up," why? "For our trespasses, our sins, and he was raised for our justification." And so he gave his life for us. You see, we have good news. Whether we want to talk about he is present, whether we want to call say that we know his name, whether we want to talk about him dying, whether we want to talk about the cross, whether we want to talk about him raising from the dead, whether we want to talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, whatever it might be, the church today has good news. And in a world that is troubled, the world that is full of sin, in a world that is going to end, we have good news, and it's our job to proclaim that good news. The cross must always be the center and the foundation of the gospel, the cross upon which Jesus died. We sing our songs about it, the old rugged cross, and we talk about the cross. Let's not get away from the fact that on the cross, Jesus Christ died for our sins and 3 days later was raised from the dead. There is good news. I hope and pray that as we think about the good news, that somehow as we define this word, that we can become so in tune to what it means that we want to share with everybody we can. There is good news in a lost and dying world, and that is that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Would you pray with me, please? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the good news that the prophets proclaimed, for the good news that Jesus came and proclaimed, for the good news the apostles came and proclaimed, and for the good news today that we can receive, trusting in you as our Lord and Savior. Father, may we accept it, and may we share it with everyone we can. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen.